This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the program right here in the beautiful studios of 93.7 The Fan. Joel Nelson is now in the hot seat. You can talk to him before you talk to me. All you have to do is call 412-928-9370. That is the Fan Hotline. Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Our show brought to you by PNC Bank. Go ahead, make today the day. PNC Bank's got great virtual wallet on your app. Number one Cochrane, shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. I'm so glad sometimes I go on the radio, I have people reaching out to me about back stretching now, or at least stretching period. Dave Swanson's a friend of mine. He said, I got the best thing happening. I avoided surgery. Dave, thank you very much for that. And others who've also texted me with, I got to do more stretching. I know I got to figure out a routine that makes sense. And I will, because I need to hit the ball further. And it ain't going to happen because I, you get older, the distance goes away. I got to figure out a way to get distance to keep up with people like Dave Swanson, who, by the way, should give me shots. 412-928-9370 is that number to call. I was talking about Joe Burrow. How about this for a four-year stretch here, Joel, for Joe Burrow, okay? His last year in college with LSU, he wins a national championship, which elevates his profile. Certainly, he becomes a number one overall pick. His first year, season cut short because of an ACL. All right, so he wins a title. The next year, he wins the AFC, goes to the Super Bowl, and loses. All right? This year, he can do it again. You'd be hard-pressed to find a four-year stretch of time where, and one of them was discounted because of an injury, that a guy put up that kind of, you know, a championship, a Super Bowl, and maybe a second Super Bowl with maybe a Super Bowl win. That's pretty good.
It's quite incredible.
Yeah, so, but we have good quarterback play all over the place in this, but we also have good defensive play. And one of the things I wanted to make clear to people is that there's still a role for defense. We've got caught up in this situation where we all talk offense and you get enamored by offense, and I get it. Offense gets a lot of the attention, highlights big plays, and the Steelers certainly got to get more of that. They need big play strike ability. They had none of it this past year. But if you're wondering why they put such an emphasis on defense, it's because it still does contribute to winning. You know, San Francisco comes into this. The most interesting matchup when I look about San Francisco and Philadelphia is the run game. San Francisco does not allow 100-yard rushers. They didn't have one against this year, not one. Philadelphia's coming off 268 yards rushing in one game, 33 touchdown rushing touchdowns this year. It is going to be a very interesting game in the trenches with those two teams, and they both have good trench people, so that is big. The other thing that's big is turnovers. San Francisco had 30 takeaways this year. Philadelphia had 27. It's no coincidence they're in the NFC Championship game, so turnovers and defense still make a difference. 412-928-9370. Got a bunch of people want to talk. Let's go out to the lines here. Joel, beginning with Ed in Kennedy Township. What's up, Ed?
Yeah, Pop, I think Reverend Bill used to call it carpet corridor. Suppose the big wigs called you up there and they said, you're going to do 5 minutes of sports at noon, 4, 5, 6, and 11, and you're going to smile and like it. What would you do? Or you're going to get fired?
I don't understand your point, Ed.
I'm saying you have to do 5 reports every day. Now, there's a lot of whining about the Steelers making changes. It's not going to happen. Tomlin's going to be there. Canada's going to be there. The running game on second down and 9 is going to be there. It's just the way it is.
Well, I mean, they're bringing back what they had, and I still believe that the contract had something to do with that. But, Ed, I also think they did make some gains here in the last nine games. And, yes, you can say it's against lesser opponents, whatever. They had a schedule to play. They played it. They went 7-2. I think there is a way, you know, for that to become the baseline of what they do next year, a strong run game. And then from it, you increase your play action. From it, you go down the field more. From it, you go over the middle more. There are more things that have to happen in this offense, and no one's denying that. But, you know, they've chosen this way, so this is how they're going to do it. We'll see what it results in. But they got a very young offense, and quite frankly, those guys with another year under their belt are going to be better because of it. And if they add to their offensive line, and then if, you know, if they bring in another...
My point is, what the boss says, you do it. He's paying the way, that's it.
Okay, again, I don't understand the point, though. What's the point?
Well, you're going to do... The announcers on the sports channels are going to have to go along with what the Steelers do, or just keep whining and whining.
Well, I'm past that stage. But thank you. You're right. I agree with that. Thanks, Ed, for the call. I mean, you can't continue to go back. They've made a choice. They've moved forward with it. All you can do now is see what they do in free agency. I think the conversation has to be what they can do to get better as a football team. And that's what we should focus on as people who consume talk radio and listen to it and contribute to it. You can sit here and complain all you want and say they should have done this, they should have done that. Okay. I thought they'd make a change at the bye week. I really did. I thought if any team was going to do it, that was going to be the team to do it. They chose not to. It got better from the bye week on. I don't know why. Internally, I think it got back to basic stuff and said, we're going to be a more physical team. We're going to start there, and that's how we're going to play it. Now, play action has to be a bigger, 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 bigger part of next year. They have to go down the field and in the middle of the field much more. Under Matt Canada, we've seen a lot of out patterns, a lot of plays to the sidelines. You got to chances are you don't get yak yards there. You don't. You have to be able to go to the middle of the field, hit guys in stride, and Kenny Pickett can do that. We'll see what it develops into. But it's the final year. He won't get an extension. It's a prove-it situation. What can they do in year number two? And if it's good, then you'll probably be okay with an extension beyond that. If not, they'll make a change. Ryan in New Jersey joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, Bob. I was calling about specifically the Fenway Sports Group, the ownership team that bought the Penguins. And they have an excellent reputation, of course. I mean, they've had a lot of success with the Red Sox and Roush and Liverpool in England.
Yep.
But they're in a bit of flux as well. So when they bought them, my eyebrows kind of perked up. And I was like, well, what are they going to do with hockey? I thought maybe they'd bring in a new team. They didn't, of course. But they've got a $200 million roster of scrap parks. In baseball, and they're crying about contracts they signed 8 years ago. So I don't think we can blanket assume they know what they're doing at all times. I think that's dangerous. But what the Penguins are now, I mean, they just seem to be caught in no man's land. I don't see, they're not going to win in the playoffs as constructed. I don't think there's any, and I know they should have beat the Rangers last year. I understand that. But that doesn't mean they wouldn't have gotten housed by Carolina right after. I just don't know what they need to do. I mean, they have no healthy goalies again, or qualified healthy goalies at this juncture, and that would be like 5 out of 6 years where they had goalie problems with health going into the playoffs, I think. Even when they were good in 2017, you turn on the game in Columbus, there's Fleury in that. What the hell is he doing there? I think Murray pulled something in warm-ups and was out for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or whatever. So that is a huge problem, and they cannot do this up against the cap. I think they committed... to players that are good players, but just that haven't brought it this year, and I don't know where you go. The reality is Crosby's wingers are not playing very well. I mean, period. They are not. They have a lot of points on empty netters, and if you break it down, I know Brian Rust kills penalties or whatever, and Gensel has stats, but he is not having a good year. So the second line seems to be more of a catalyst. They disappear like they weren't good the other night, but I don't know what you do with this. You got to move people to get people, and as constructed, it would be a crying shame for them to waste the 35 and 36 year seasons of Malkin and Crosby because they are both playing pretty well. So you can't just wait this out. You know,
I agree, and they're stuck. They've chosen this route though, Ryan, because I think that you know they value the regular season. They want more people to show up. Gate receipts matter to hockey teams, even though they're down in that department. And it, you know, here's the thing. Their mistakes, I thought, were signing Jeff Carter when they did. They didn't need to sign Jeff Carter when they did. And bringing back Kasperi Kapanen on that deal made no sense to me. And here he is, still injured, unproductive largely, and you can't move him. To your point, who do you move? What do you get? And do need a healthy goaltender, and it has to be Tristan Jarry, nobody else. And if he's not healthy, then their chances are going to be very much decreased.
Yeah. The two, Carter and Kapanen, are the obvious mistakes. I hate to pull the, because I'm outside of Philly, obviously, I hate to pull the Flyer conspiracy thing here, but Hextall, I got hit in the head too much or something, because those are typical Flyer bad moves. The fascination with not Kasperi Kapanen, but Sammy Kapanen back in the 90s killed me. He was never that good, and everybody loved him, and I can never understand why the hell everybody, like specifically Carolina and Philly, were all fascinated with Sammy Kapanen. So
well,
his kid,
you know what?
I've heard
Jim Rutherford was too.
Yeah,
he brought him back.
He's never going to get it. He's never going to get it. He does the Yager thing where he pulls up just with no talent.
Hey, Ryan, I'm going to ask you this. I know you're a hockey guy. What do you think of Taka going over to Vancouver and how that whole situation was handled?
You know, I was looking at this, some of the tweets. I don't tweet, but I was looking at, you know, I read it for just info and whatever and opinions. A lot of people were saying, like, well, why does Taka always go to a dumpster fire? You know, Tampa was a dumpster fire when he was there. That was the whole gambling.
Arizona was bad.
Yeah, they were bad. And then Phoenix was bad, and he turned them around a little bit. Then he goes to Vancouver, which is the biggest dumpster fire in the league right now. I don't get it. And the theory is, like, well, he's not – nobody likes him. He wouldn't get a good – he won't get a good job. You mean to tell me he wouldn't have gotten almost any job the last few years? Like, even Boston – people forget Boston replaced their coach because they hated the old guy. Like, yeah. I don't know if they'd like talk it, but, you know, they're – I don't understand.
I thought Philly was going to be his choice. That's the thing. That's the one that made sense to me, because he spent time there and he kind of is the kind of player that they identify with.
Yeah, I know. But I give Taka credit for knowing that Philly never can get out of it. I mean, they tie their own shoestring together. They are a mess.
Yeah, but so are, as you cited, so are all these other teams he went to. They were messes. So what's the difference with that mess and this mess?
Well, Philly's been a mess for 20 years, and they spend like they're sailors on shore leave. So I can't defend the Flyers at all.
No, you know what I think too. I think you're in a situation where you have, they have a lot of draft picks apparently, and they're going to utilize them. If you're smart with your draft picks and come up with people that I don't think people like, for example, I'm a big fan of Dallas and what they've been able to do, mostly because of what they've done in their draft. Now, you could hit on your top 10 guys, and I'll go back to the draft that everyone talks about with them is, I think it's either 17 or 18. I can't remember the year. Miro Hiskinen was their third overall. Everyone knew he was going to be a big – but they got guys like Jake Ottinger later. In the second round, they got Jason Robertson, who most people don't know who he is, but if you watch hockey, that guy has blossomed into a 39th pick. Yeah. You know, you have to.
He's like an upgraded Jason Zucker. Like that's what he reminds me of. Like a guy that like a sniper version of Jason Zucker.
Yeah.
Zucker's not a sniper. He's a great guy. He's a team guy and he's a hard worker and you appreciate what he contributes. But he's not that. Robertson's like a sniper version of him. I like him a lot.
Yeah, and Buffalo did it the right way too. They acquired some people and and all those guys are starting to come and play and contribute.
If I had to pick one guy that I'd love to see in a Penn sweater after trade deadline, he's going to be playing tonight, is Meyer. But they can't. The problem is they're tied to these guys.
Right.
Malkin, Crosby, nobody else should be safe. They should be willing to move anyone to shake this up, because this is a stale roster that just doesn't. They are just not fast enough to play, you know, the 3F defensive, puck-moving defenseman, Rutherford Sullivan crap anymore. They're just not. So you got to try something, or you're just wasting time.
Ryan, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opinions. You always bring it with some hot hockey talk. I like it. But, yeah, they made a choice. That's where they are. I still think if they're healthy with a good goaltender healthy, I think they can do some damage in the playoffs. I don't know if that means one round, no rounds, play a good seven-game series. I don't know what it means. But I do know. With the kind of team they have, they can do that. I think we saw evidence of that last year and the year before, to be honest with you. The COVID year with Montreal was just a disaster every which way, and the one before that with the Islanders was too. But, they don't have much wiggle room here. And you knew that, though. This is the down payment you're making on winning a championship or two back when they did. You knew that if you mortgage futures, just like credit card debt, sooner or later you got to pay it. It's coming after you. Everyone knew that was going to be the case. So they haven't gotten a lot of talent in their system, you know, high-end talent. So not only does that mean you can't promote those guys, they're not going to help you, but you don't have anyone to deal to get other guys. You're stuck in that situation, and I think you're accurate when you say you're kind of stuck in the middle. But I do think they have enough talent. Sidney Crosby when he's on and playing his game, Malkin, those two guys, top lines. Now, they got to reduce turnovers, especially Malkin, or penalties in offensive zones and those sorts of things. But I still think they're capable of getting in. Now, you don't want to be a wild card against Boston. Nobody does. So you got to work your way out of that. But it's tight right now. All these points mattered beginning tonight with San Jose. Tidal Man joins us real quick in Harrison City. Hey, Tidal Man, how are you?
I'm terrific. It's a great day to be going down to the Peak. And I'm so thrilled that we're playing games at the end of January that are meaningful. And that hasn't happened for a long time. I'm hoping we get a full turnout from the Zoo, which I fully expect. And I'm hoping we can get that lower bowl and at least half of the upper bowl full of Pitt fans. A lot of people, you know, bailed on us Jamie Dixon. So it's a process to bring them all back. But, you know, we have a couple games here, Miami, and then we're playing Wednesday night against North Carolina. I would be thrilled if we could split, because then the schedule gets a little easier. But, you know, that Miami coach is he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Jim Larrañaga knows how to coach, just like Leonard Hamilton knows how to coach. But, yeah, let me ask you this. Yeah. When I look at Pitt and they're 14-7, I'm trying to make a case for them to get in the NCAA tournament somehow, some way. So they're 14-7 right now, 7-3 overall. How many wins do you think it will take, and specifically how many ACC wins will it take for them to be in that conversation?
Well, this is what kind of irks me now, because when we were in the Big East, I always said, get a good out-of-conference record and then split in the Big East and you'll make the tournament. We got to do appreciably more than play 500 in the ACC, and it's unfortunate because I think it's a top to bottom, it's a terrific conference. You know, we don't have any DePauls or Georgetowns or whatever, and so I think it's a really an unfair comparison to some of the other conferences. But they're going to have two or three over 500. They're going to have to, you know,
I think it'll take more than that. They have, they have 10 games left. I think you'd have to win 5 and 6 of those and then go to the tournament and win 1 or 2 of those.
Ooh, man, that's, I think if they win 6 of the next 10, and again, it eases up a bit. We got Louisville, which is a patsy now. We got Boston College, Vautech, which isn't going to be, which won't be easy. But, if we can win, okay, say we win 6 and 4 here on out, or 7 and 3. 7 and 3, we should make that tournament. Should make that tournament.
It's going to be right on the edge there. Thank you very much for the call, Tidal Man. Enjoy your day down at the Pete Pitt and Miami. Coming up, you'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Pregame 3:30, 4 o'clock tip. Welcome back as we roll along here. Brought to you by PNC Bank. PNC, make today the day. Number one Cochran, shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. All right, Joel, here's a question for you before I go back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. Who is hotter right now, Joe Burrow or John Rahm?
I'm not sure. But,
so John Rahm is playing out at the Torrey Pines. It's the Farmer Insurance Open on the PGA Tour. And I bring this up just because he's doing something that very rarely happens, especially with no Tiger Woods, because he's the guy who's done it most. He's going to go for his third straight win this week, and he started off badly. He birdied 15 of 24 holes to get back in. It's in second place now. All right? So today's the final round. They played Wednesday through Saturday here. So since 1997, there have only been 18 separate instances of a player winning three straight tour starts. Tiger Woods has been the guy to do it 14 of those 18 times. So since 1997, only three guys, discounting Woods, has won three events in a row. It's hard to win on the PGA Tour. He's won two in a row, and he's in position to win a third in a row. Is anyone hotter than him?
Can't think of anybody. This is quite the achievement that John Rahm's got going on right now.
Well, Joe Burrow is the guy who's done it in football, and these are his numbers against Kansas City. We were just talking about this in the break. 3-0, okay? 29 points per game. Average of 327 passing yards. 74% completion against Kansas City's defense, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's as good as it gets against Kansas City and beating Patrick Mahomes. That's your matchup tomorrow on KDK TV, 6:30 start. Look forward to it. All right. I always look forward to Anthony in Oakland. He joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Anthony. What's up?
Thank you, Bob.
Bob, you're welcome.
You know, a lot of people, obviously, on some of the talk shows were listening to full context of Mr. Rooney's comments the other day. I mean, he specified that when asked by a reporter about Brian Flores being a senior defensive advisor, would he, Mr. Rooney, consider doing the same thing on the offense? And he didn't say no.
No. He left it open, and I believe they will bring in a pass game coordinator.
So, I mean, these people were going on and on, you know, criticizing Canada staying, and I am one of those who felt that was necessary. But Mr. Rooney also, just, you know, I heard him say that, which would be advisable. You know, I've been calling for Clint Kubiak because I think to come in as the pass game coordinator for what he did when he was in Minnesota with Jefferson and Thielen and Cousins. And I mean, he, as we saw personally in 2021, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings shredded the Steelers defense pass wise. I mean, Justin Jefferson is a real stud, and he equates what Clint Kubiak did for him when he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he's young. He's in his 40s. So I think he would be a good candidate.
And I do think they need help in that department. I really do. I think they need to add to what they have there. And there's no limitation to what you can do. You can bring in whoever you want.
And Mr. Rooney said that. I mean, Mr. Rooney broke it down very specifically. He talked about red zone. He talked about
Yak yards was big on his agenda.
and see, Bob, you and I go back. We've been following this team a long time. I've been following this team since Bill Austin was the coach. you know, a coach reaches a shelf life. The great Chuck Knoll reached it. Mr. Dan Rooney kept intervening on his coaching staff until Chuck Knoll had enough in 91, said, you know, I'm retiring. Mr. Rooney has intervened before. Mr. Rooney walked in, told Cowher, when in 04, look at this Roethlisberger person. So the owner has all the sway, if he wants to intervene on something. He did it with Arians. So I have confidence in the team. But what I like to tell folks, you know, who keep talking about extensions for Coach Tomlin. Coach, I mean, you've been following Coach Tomlin for a long time. You do those shows with him. That's a prideful man. He's not going to stay around and catch a paycheck if he's not producing.
No, I agree with that. And I don't think people realize, you know, how competitive he is and how competitive he wants this team to be year in and year out. And listen, they have their way of doing things, and most people don't agree with it because most people are impatient these days. I get that. I understand that. But they also, you know, they have enough talent that makes you think if they get the right people in the right spots on the coaching staff, in addition to what they have, that they can because their offense is young enough. Anthony, are you encouraged by their offense? And I'm talking about just the personnel of the offense.
Yes, I'm very encouraged, especially with the way Pickett has developed. I'm really, and you got Pickens, who you can turn into a stud. I mean, this could be a combination similar to what you got in Cincinnati. But you got to tone it in. You got to get the right people in place. And like, you know, Tomlin, they act as if when you hear these other talk shows, they act as if Tomlin has no options in life. Not only does he have options in coaching if he wants to somewhere else, but television is calling because they must not listen.
I can tell you that. He's made that pretty clear, at least when I talked to him. He doesn't want to do that. Although I think he would be awesome at it.
When they're giving Bob, when they're throwing around $20 million checks a year,
I know
that has a, especially when the wife would overhear that, that has a way of changing your mind, doesn't it?
Yes, but I also think they're pretty content with the money they've made, what they've made. At least right now, it strikes me that he would never do that. And I think I've talked to him about it because I think he'd be awesome at it. And you're right, these checks are going to be even bigger now that Brady is waiting on a $320 million deal.
And especially the way he's talked about around the country and the national media. I mean, Steeler fans are jaded. Bob, you know the criticism. You saw it. They went after Cowher. after losing all those AFC championships. So they're ready to throw you out the door around this town quickly. And but I do believe that they do have a shelf life. And knowing the man, and like you know him, he ain't going to stick around if he ain't getting the job done. He'll leave on his own. Mr. Rooney won't have to ask him. He'll go.
No, I agree with that. I do. And I think right. that's what burns inside right now. They want to get back to this, and I think they have a good start on a core on offense. And I still think if they plug in that defense, Anthony, they got to figure out their inside linebackers, though. They cannot go into next season without some production there. It just leaves them too vulnerable over the middle.
That's been very poor, and I'm really surprised. Now, he can be criticized for. He has a background in defense and as a coordinator and with a lot of other two other teams besides the Steelers. And once they lost Ryan Shazier, they have just not – they thought they had something, but once that rookie, Bush tore up his knee, he was never the same. And they have to do something better there because they've been getting killed. And when you see your competition, you got to deal with Burrow and them for a while. You know, back in the day, the Oilers used to have to form their team to beat the Steelers and the Ravens.
Right.
Do that. Now the Steelers have to do the same with the Bengals, man.
Yeah, not just them. But if Watson turns out to be what maybe he can be, they got to deal with that team. And if Lamar Jackson returns, you know, they've dealt with him, but it's a tough assignment. Those six games every year used to be, you know, you'd say four of them are winnable. Well, not so much. No. You're going to have to work hard to get it. But, Anthony, thanks as always.
Bob, thank you. Be safe, man.
All right, you too. Anthony from Oakland. I always say he should have his own show, you know. 412-928-9370 is that number to call. Well, it is a beautiful day outside, no question about that, so get out and enjoy it. It's supposed to be that way all day, little clouds moving in. Maybe some precipitation tonight, but it should not amount to much. So we'll have the weather for you coming up in just a second. In the meantime, we have about 13 minutes left before Paul Zeiss comes in here and takes you from 1 o'clock all the way up until Panther pregame, I imagine. Yep, and that's Miami and Pitt today. Made me funny, speaking of Miami, I saw Steve Harvey, who I like doing Family Feud, Joel, you know. they had a celebrity baseball player edition, you know. So Pedro Martinez is on this. Did you see this?
I have not, but it sounds exciting if it's Steve Harvey and Pedro Martinez.
Yeah. Well, his question to Pedro, he goes, Pedro, all right, give me a word that rhymes with yummy. And Pedro says, Miami.
That's pretty good.
It just
broke
me up.
Good.
I was like, you can't make up stuff like that. It's pretty funny stuff. Anyway, 412-928-9370 is the number. You can hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. Let's go out to Section 51 in Latrobe. What's up, Section? This is the first section. We don't have sections who normally call us, an entire section of 51. What's up?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. And you?
Good. Hey, I had a quick question. Have you caught any Duquesne basketball this year? Any thoughts on what Dambrot's done this season?
No, I know he's done a great job, and I honestly haven't had a chance to get up there, mostly because these games start at 7, and we're on the air until 7, and by the time I get up, I got to turn right around and go back. So I've been watching them, you know, online or wherever they're broadcast, but haven't been there in person, and I wish I could have more free time that way.
Yeah,
but they're doing a great job, there's no doubt.
Yeah, he's done a nice job so far today. I mean, they've let a couple games get away, a big one today in Amherst. So it's nice to have some relevant Division I basketball between them and Pitt this year. So,
I wish they would play a lot more. I wish all these teams would play a lot more in football and basketball. But, you know, it is what it is. But I think he has, you know, thing about that team is I like when they press the ball forward, move it up and down, you know, get a good pace going to their game. They seem to have some people where, you know, Grant is one of those guys who can make shots, do a lot of good stuff. By the way, did you see the guy who wandered onto the court the other day, and did you think that was a prank when it happened?
Well, it's funny. Actually, I usually go to most of the games. I did not go to that one. Initially, I kind of thought it was real. Then early on, I know my son's a student there, so he kind of gave me the feel that it was potentially a prank. But, yeah, it was definitely interesting. This is some publicity for the school.
Yeah. I don't know. People will do anything to get their little moments of time out there, and I guess that was the case. But Duquesne.
One last question.
Yep, go ahead.
One last question, Bob. Tonight's Penguin game, you see as a high scoring affair, you think? With San Jose?
I wouldn't go as far as 7-6 as we saw the other night, but the Panther game, it was exciting, fun to watch, but it was also filled with breakdowns and just giveaways. So San Jose is a team that should have won last night. They didn't, and, you know, they played a good Carolina team. So. I would expect, you know, something in the 4-3-5-4 range. Yeah, more goals than you would expect, yes.
Exactly. Well, it was nice talking. Hopefully the Panthers and the Dukes come through today.
All right, man. Thanks. Section 51 in Latrobe is heard from right here on the Bob Pompiani Show. So, you know, now we're getting so I put out the stretching issue. It's amazing how many people will respond. Chad Aiken hits me up here and says there's a stretch lab on Smallman Street. I think my daughter Selena told me about that once before, but it's called the Stretch Lab. I may have to check into that just because I got to stretch better. I mean, it's just hard to. And again, my only goal is to hit the ball farther than Dave Swanson. If I can do that, I'll be happy. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Pitt and Miami, speaking of them, really good matchup today. Miami is 20th ranked in the country, coming off a big win over Florida State, a team that Pitt lost to. And I tried to figure out what it would take for them to get to the NCAA tournament. And this is the first time since Jamie Dixon's teams of 15-16 that we even have this conversation. It has been a long time, folks. And it's good to see that Jeff Capel has a team right now that's making us talk about it, consider these options. But at 14-7 overall, 7-3 in conference, they have 10 games left, I think I counted. So, Joel, when you play this game, I've seen a lot of teams 21, 22 wins not get in. There's always going to be somebody snubbed. Now, and they've increased the amount of teams with their, you know, the last four, first four. They have that special Dayton, Ohio, you know, play-in games, whatever. If they can get to that point, I think you're going to need 21 wins. That's the way I look at this, right? Because I think the ACC is still in its conference. So that means they're going to have to win 7 of 10 or whatever's left. So that would include one or two tournament games, and I think they can do that. If they can win 6 of 10, that would get them to 20-11 overall. And if they win one or two tournament games, they're going to be right there knocking on that door. So is that doable? I don't know. They got North Carolina after that. You know, North Carolina's a team they beat. Can they beat them again?
It's probably doable, but it's going to be really close, really tight. A lot of people think Pitt's going to – they could end up being in the Dayton, Ohio play-in tournament and maybe against Penn State, but
– that would be fun. That would be one to watch. I'd love to see that happen.
That would be incredible.
Yeah. Here's an interesting – speaking about pairing teams and like Pitt and Penn State rivalry game. So over in Dubai, they're playing a golf tournament. And did you see this week Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy got into it? Not even got into it. Patrick Reed's on the LIV Tour, and he's kind of known as a little bit of a jag-off, I guess. And Rory McIlroy is now the voice of the PGA Tour. So they're playing in the World Tournament over in Dubai. And so Patrick Reed goes over to try to say hello and shake Rory's hand. He had nothing of it. Didn't look at him. So Patrick Reed flipped the tee at him and walked away. So today, they have an opportunity to be paired together. It's not like the PGA Tour, which does it automatically, you know, and if you have the same score and it depends on who shot it first, they pair you up accordingly. Here, this is if they want it to happen, and they chose not to. And I really thought that's a missed opportunity. Not that I'm saying I want to see anger, but a little bit of a edge. You know, I want to see a little rivalry. Those
that
two guys,
really good.
And they chose not to pair them together. I don't know. I think they missed something over there. If that was a PGA Tour, it would have happened because of where they finished. In this situation, they chose to go against it. So, we'll see. But, as I said, John Rahm is the hottest golfer on the planet right now. He has a chance to do something that mostly nobody does except Tiger Woods, and that's win 3 PGA tournaments in a row. Can he finish the deal? Well, you can watch it on KDK, a shameless plug today. From Torrey Pines, it's the Farmers Insurance Championship. And Rahm won this thing as a major back in 2021. So we'll see what he can do. In the meantime, once again, thank you to PNC Bank. PNC Bank today the day. Check out the virtual wallet at PNC Bank. You won't be disappointed. Number one, Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with ExpressWayCochrane.com. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. I've been telling you about Iron Rock Tap House. If you're out there, check it out. Great food, great beverages. Great place to watch sports. They got it all for you at Iron Rock Tap House, right across from that live casino. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Silverados and Colorados are back in stock with a great selection. Stop in and online. You can do it at sunchevy.com. Today, you see sun now. It's going to give way to some clouds, high of 45. Tonight, considerable clouds, possible rain, a little bit of snow activity. No accumulation, low of 39. And tomorrow, remaining cloudy with a couple of showers, high of 43. Be sure to join us for the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown tomorrow night. That's live. It'll be after all the day's programming and the late news on KDK. We'll talk about both of these championship games. And Joel, on the record, you have taken who?
I think it's going to end up being San Francisco and Kansas City, rematch of 3 years ago.
Okay. I think it's going to be Philadelphia and Kansas City. I just think Cincinnati's playing it too cocky right now. Some of their players are saying things that they may regret after it's all said and done. We've seen that before. You know, back here in 94 when the Steelers and Chargers met, a lot of people already had a Super Bowl parade planned. And that kind of stuff, even though you can't, you know, look back and say, did it have a role in this? But you know what? Intangibly, it could. I mean, it can get guys jacked up a little bit to play. And I think by Mike Hilton calling it Burrowhead Stadium, okay, you're dealing with Patrick Mahomes. Don't be surprised.
There.
I remember when, you know, it was Tom Brady who heard some things from, I think it was Anthony Smith, you know, a defensive player for the Steelers. And he went after him specifically because of comments. And then he went after him when he made touchdown passes against him and went right into his face. Sometimes you can motivate guys to the point where you don't want to do it anymore. And maybe Patrick Mahomes, gimpy leg and all, is still going to be capable of doing that. We'll see. You'll see that game tomorrow, KDKA, beginning at 6:30. Joel, thank you. It's appreciated as always. And thank those of you out there who called and didn't get through. We appreciate that. Try again next week. We'll be on the air same time, 11 to 1. That's going to do it for our program. Paul Zeiss is coming up next. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you again. I'll see you on Monday. Are you in Monday for the Cook and Joe show, by any chance?
I think Matt Cole's back for that day.
Oh, Matt's back?
Yes.
Oh, ho, ho.
Folsey,
Coltsy, whatever you want to call him, he'll be back. You guys did an admirable job, of course, filling in for him. And we'll see you on Monday on that show, and right back here next Saturday, 11 to 1, on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.